Want to encourage you to check out our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I specifically am pointing people to the website there tonight because I've got several articles, and I got this sheaf of papers in my hand here right now, and I certainly cannot go through all of these here tonight. The one on top, I think, has about 22 pages, and then there's another one that's a three-part article, and I think the first one starts out with about 15 pages, and then the other two parts of that article are a little bit shorter, and then they got some shorter articles. But I was doing some reading the past couple of days over this issue that comes up, the perennial issue of Easter and the controversy that it engenders as to whether or not, as Bible-believing Christians, that we ought to use this phrase Easter. And I want to talk about that tonight. I've got several articles. One is an article entitled Easter or Passover by Scott Jones. And that one there is an excellent article. I just finished reading through that before the program again tonight, trying to keep some of it fresh in mind. And then also I have another article, Why We Should Not Pass Over Easter, Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3 by Nick Sayers. And that's four articles right there. There's other things that I was looking at, other things that I was reading. But if you want to get some good information on this subject, let me encourage you to read some of these articles. And even Nick Sayers has a video, I think he's got a couple videos now, dealing with this idea, why we should not pass over Easter. And I think the first video mostly is just reading from his first article. But you can glean some good information for that if you don't want to take the time to read the entire thing. You can watch his video. And I have not had time to do it yet, but eventually I hope to also put a link on our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, to these articles, and give you a chance to read some of these things for yourself. Now, the reason that I'm bringing this up, and this comes from some research that I've been doing the past year or two into this, because most of my ministry, I have pretty much been on the bandwagon with those who say that we really should not use the word Easter because it's of pagan origin. It basically comes from Ishtar or Astarte and the fertility goddess and all of that. But last year, I got to looking at something. I think it was about a year or two ago. I got to looking at something that really made me start questioning this, and I was really trying to find a better answer to this question. And let's turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Now, if you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you know that I use the King James Version of the Bible. People say, well, you're King James only. That's a cult group. No, I'm King James only because of study and looking at this. I actually switched from the New American Standard to the King James only position. Now, that's not the point of the discussion here tonight. But what I want to point out here is if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, and if you have the King James only position, such as I do, then we have a difficult situation that we have to sort out in Acts chapter 12. And I was actually challenged on this. Now, let me read the passage here. And I'll start in Acts chapter 12. And the Bible says, starting in verse 1, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, is kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, here's the situation in verse number 4 there. If you followed what I read, he said that Herod had apprehended Peter. He had placed him in prison, four quaternions of soldiers. That would have been four sets of four soldiers each. so that they could take turns. And there were two soldiers chained to either side of him, two keeping the door and at all times. And they were intending, the Bible says here, in the King James Version of the Bible. Now, this is different. If you're reading in the New International Version, or probably just about any other version, you will read intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people. And the King James says intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. This is the only time that the word Easter appears, I believe, in the King James Version of the Bible. Now, here's the question. Why is this verse or this word used here? And many have looked at this and said, well, that's because there was the Feast of Ishtar, the fertility goddess, Astarte, who is Ishtar, and Ishtar was transliterated over time to Easter. It was in the spring, about the same time as Passover and all of this, and so that's what's going on here. After the Feast of Ishtar, they were going to bring him forth to the people. But here's the problem, and this is what I was challenged on. As a King James Bible believer, I was asked, why is it that in the Greek, there's, there's like 22 times, I think, or 23 times that the word for Passover appears in the New Testament, and it's translated Passover every time, except here in Acts chapter 12, in verse number 4. And here it's translated as Easter. And sure enough, if you look in the Greek, if you look in the Textus Receptus even, and that's one of the main reasons that I use the King James version of the Bible. That's why I'm King James only, is because it comes from the Textus Receptus, the received text, or also called the majority text. And they use the word here, Pascha. Now, Pascha is the Greek version of Pesach, which is the Hebrew for Passover. It's where we the word that's translated as Passover. And this word is, in this one instance, Pesach is translated as Easter. Now, here's the problem that I came up with, and I was trying to find a solution to, because I believe the Bible is God's word. I believe God inspired his word. He preserved it through the Textus Receptus, the Greek text underlying the King James Version of the Bible. And I believe that God saw to it that his word was preserved for us in the King James Version in the English language to be delivered unto the world, because English was going to become the international language, which indeed it has. At the time, of course, in the 1600s, it wasn't the international language, but later it became. And God has seen to it that his word would be preserved in the international language of the world so the most people possible could take advantage of reading and studying and benefiting from God's preserved word, and we have it here in the King James Version. Now, having said all that, the question then became, if I believe that that God's word is preserved here, then Easter, which if it's a reference to the fertility goddess feast, then why did the Greek have the word Pascha there and not Ishtar or Astarte rather, Ashtaroth or something like that? Why was it the word that's translated Passover elsewhere? So here's the problem. If the King James Bible is a faithful translation that preserves the word of God, then this would appear to be a mistake. If it's if the word Easter is supposed to be there, then it would appear that the Textus Receptus was wrong, and the King James translators had to change the text or correct the Textus Receptus. And I don't believe that either. But if this is a mistranslation, then the King James isn't the perfectly preserved word of God, and possibly the Textus Receptus isn't. So you can see where my conundrum was. So I started searching this out, and admittedly, most of my ministry, I've taught that this was the pagan fertility goddess feast, Ishtar or Astarte. And indeed, there have been fertility goddesses that and fertility goddess feasts that were in the spring of the year, because it's the season of the new birth And, you know, plants begin to grow and the leaves come out and the flowers bloom and all of that. And new life coming. But here's the thing. Why is the word Easter there? And so I did some research into this. Now, I had read Alexander Hislop's book, Two Babylons, I believe was the name of it. And in reading through that, he makes the case that Easter comes from the pagan fertility goddess feast and all of that, and that Ishtar and Astarte and all that was transliterated into Easter. And, you know, the thing of it is, as you go back and look at what Hislop said, he had no evidence for that. His evidence basically was the idea that the words sounded the same. Now, there's a problem with basing your translation or your statement based on things that sound the same. Let me give you an example. In the Samoan language, the word for a house or a small building is a fale. Well, in the English language, we have a similar sounding word for something that is a we call it a boondoggle, a useless endeavor, and we call that a fale. See, very similar words. So does that mean that building a house is a boondoggle? Well, I suppose it could be, but if you don't know what you're doing. But the point of the matter is that just because Hislop said that they sound the same, therefore they must be the same, well, that's not good scholarship. Now, Hislop might have done a good job in pointing out how some of the pagan practices that came in long after Easter was celebrated by the early Christians, the practices such as the Easter bunny and the colored eggs and different things like that, obviously, and the 40 days of Lent preceding Easter and all that came in later. And Hislop does do a good job of pointing out their pagan origins. But again, here's this word. Well, let's come back to this here, this word here. The Bible talks about the Passover, and here's the key. The King James is absolutely correct, and it's superior to the other Bible versions in using this word, and here's why. Notice this passage again in Acts chapter 12. He says, and because he saw, in verse 3, he says, and because he sought please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now, notice what Luke puts in parentheses. Luke puts in parentheses this statement. He says, then were the days of unleavened bread. Now, Luke is not known in the book of Acts for putting a lot of extra notes in about Jewish holidays. He just kind of assumed that people knew what they were talking about. John in his gospel is known for putting in some explanatory notes. But Luke had a reason for putting this in this passage, and that's because this was the Christian Pesach, the Christian Passover. But this is different than the Jewish Passover, because in the Bible, in Leviticus chapter 23, where it gives us the time frame for the seven Levitical feasts there, it says, in the 14th day of the first month, at even is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, did you catch that? And it says, in 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. But the Jewish Passover, the time that Jesus was sacrificed as our Passover lamb, took place prior to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But Peter is in jail during the days of unleavened bread, which means the Jewish Passover has passed, no pun intended. And so as a consequence, the King James translators, who were very knowledgeable, who had an encyclopedic knowledge of the English language and the origins and the Saxon origins and the Germanic and Teutonic origins of the English language, they searched and they looked at various words and they settled on this word that has become Easter. Now, in 1850, a writer by the name of C.F. Cruz, he made this statement here regarding the etymology or the origin of our English word Easter. He said, "Our word Easter is of Saxon origin and of precisely the same import with its German cognate, Ostern," meaning this is the word that also derives from the same root that we get Easter. So Easter and Ostern are basically the same words, and one in English, one in German. And he says the latter, meaning Ostern, is derived from the old Teutonic form, and I'm not a German speaker, so I'll attempt to pronounce this somewhat and then spell it, Auferstehen, Auferstehen, and also Auferstung, Auferstehung. That is the word that today in German is the resurrection. That's the word that becomes a resurrection. Now, let me point this out. In the German language, the word Ostern, which means Easter, it's derived from the word Ost, which means the east or the rising of the sun, okay? And that word that's in German used for resurrection is a compound word that is derived from Ostern, which is Erster, which means first, and Stehen, S-T-E-H-E-N, which means to stand, meaning to first stand. Doesn't that sound like something familiar about the Lord? He is the first begotten from the dead. He's the firstborn in the resurrection. He's the first fruits, I should say, of the resurrection. And he's the first to be resurrected. That's why these root words came in German to mean resurrection. And so as you look at this, this word became Ostern, which is the older form of the German word for resurrection, and that in turn became Auferstehen, current form of the word for resurrection. And so Esther, E-S-T-E-R in English, later morphed into Easter, which became the equivalent of the German word Oster, which morphed into Ostern. Even Hislop himself admitted that the name is peculiar to the to the British Islands. Easter is peculiar to the British Islands. That's because it's derived from the Saxon and the Teutonic words, which comes down to us, so that Easter in English means and has always meant in its etymology, it means the resurrection. And specifically, it means the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we have the pre-resurrection Pascha, which is the type, the shadow. And then we have, in Jesus Christ and his resurrection, the post-resurrection Pascha, which is the fulfillment of the type. And this changes everything. The Passover was the last Passover, essentially, for the old economy, and the new Passover represents the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And so this word is translated there to give us that. Now, we find that Tyndale, he invented the word Passover, and he also used the word Esther, which is where they got it from for the King James Version of the Bible. And they studied these words, and they used it for this very simple reason. The reason is that the early Christians did not fight over whether or not to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. They had disagreements over exactly which day it should be on, and you see that today. Some people believe that it should be celebrated on one day, some on another day, but they still agreed that they should celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the crucial thing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if there's no resurrection, we have no faith, basically. There's nothing for us to preach. Our faith is vain, it's empty, it's pointless. That's the important thing. The resurrection took place, and we need to realize that. And now today, we understand that from the first century on, they observed a celebration in the spring of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's the most important event in Christianity. Had an interesting conversation at the hotel where we meet the Holiday Inn Express in Richfield with somebody who follows the Jain religion, and he said, "Oh, happy Easter to you. This is the most holy day for the Christians, isn't it?" And we were talking about that a little bit, and I said, "Yes, without the resurrection, there would be no Christianity." And so we were able to talk for a few minutes there today. And that's true. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. And that's whereby we were delivered from the wages of sin, which is death. When we believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins, when we believe that he became our Passover lamb, or as Tyndale and Luther recorded it, as our Oster or Easter lamb. See that word coming in there again? And they believed that this word was to be used to signify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it had no connection whatsoever with Astarte or Ishtar, just happens to have a similar sound. And so, again, with that in mind, let me encourage you that you can use the word Easter. I have no problem using it. I read through a lot of material. I've only just given you just a quick glance at some of these things, but so much more that can become that you can read. And I encourage you, go to our website and read the articles there. Don't believe it just because I say it. Pick up some of these articles, read through them, compare with what the Bible says, and allow the Holy Spirit to convince you whether or not you should use the word Easter. As for me, I'm convinced. Because of that, I have no problem with the statement in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, where Herod was intending after Easter, after the Christian Passover, Easter representing the Christian Passover, distinct from the Jewish Passover, to bring him forth to the people. Because see, if the King James Version is correct, and I believe that it is, then Easter is not a mistranslation of the Greek word Pasch. It's not a mistranslation, because Ishtar or Astarte is not in the Greek. It's a faithful translation which represents the truth that's preserved in the King James Version of the Bible, and it's lost in the others.